very, very good evening. This is Season 3, Episode 2, which in total is 31 episodes. Here we are, the Really Bad Mental Health Podcast with...
me.
And...
me.
And me.
That middle me was Lisa. She's not very well me.
No, she sounds like Marge.
I'm not Marge Simpson. But I kind of am.
But it's Adam and Adam and Lisa. And here we are, three friends talking about our mental health. So welcome back to another episode. I'm excited tonight.
I'm excited.
It feels like we're going to actually get into it tonight. Because the last episode, we were just doing the highlights because we'd taken like 5 years off the podcast. So here we are. We're back and we're doing it. So first of all, Lisa, how are you?
I mean, apart from the voice, I'm all right. I've had a bit of allergy for the week or so, last week or so.
What we'll have to do, PD, can you put subtitles on this for all our podcast listeners out there?
I do apologise. But yeah, apart from my voice, I'm good. I've been to see my niece and nephew in their nativity play today, which is the absolute cutest thing in the world.
And what were their roles?
Molly was a narrator. She had a few lines to say about Jesus going to Bethlehem. No, Jesus didn't go to Bethlehem.
That sounded really judgy. Like Mary. She had a few things to say about Jesus going to Bethlehem.
She had a few lines to say about Mary and Joseph.
Oh, yeah, Jesus wasn't there yet.
He
didn't have a choice.
And Max was an angel. But they did some lovely singing. Oh, honestly, I'm so emotional. They're not even my kids.
Here's a quick question then. What did you play in the Nativity?
I was Mary 1 year, I think.
Were you?
Yeah,
God, leading role.
Yeah, as Mary, I used to had a bit of tinsel on my head. There's a photo of me somewhere with like a blue tea towel.
The Virgin Mary.
And a bit of tinsel, yeah. That didn't last long.
Anyway, half. What did you play?
I don't remember being in the Nativity.
Oh, I remember being in there 1 year. I was a Roman.
Oh, were you?
But we were only talking about an Instagram one the other day where there's a guy who was door holder number two.
Yeah.
So. Oh, yeah, they were doing it on the radio the other day and there was a guy that was a rock.
Yeah, this one was quite traditional. Some of them aren't traditional anymore.
No.
Like, this was proper Mary and Joseph.
Yeah. He was a rock, not the rock.
Oh, he was.
It wasn't like a non-traditional.
Well,
he
came
was just
on a Dwayne Johnson.
Big pebble. He just wasn't like, yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, I'm good. I've had a nice day, nice festive weekend
excellent.
As well. I made a wreath.
Oh yeah,
Sunday.
I couldn't think of anything worse. When you said, I'm going reef making, I thought that is so
reefer.
Let's not go down that road. But I thought that is like so far away from what I'd want to do on a weekend.
Oh, no,
that would
lovely.
Be torture.
Lovely catch up.
I mean, the photos. You all look like you're having a lovely time.
We did
you have some Christmas music on?
Christmas music, some mulled wine, some Stollen.
The mulled wine and the Stollen, I'm in.
Yeah.
Producer David's here, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, I don't know if you can hear him shouting in the background.
We said the key word.
It's excitement for Stollen. I've never seen
Santa
a man so excited.
On Sunday morning.
Oh, yeah, that looked good.
So I've had a real
festive
week.
You had a very
week.
Festive week.
Yeah, and it's only the 3rd of December.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
So, yeah. I'm
we good. Don't celebrate Christmas in our house yet until the 7th of December because it's my lad's birthday on the 6th.
We share a birthday then, him and I.
Yes, you do. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's the same thing in our house.
Happy birthday, PD, for the 6th of December.
Friday.
I only just found out that producer's last name isn't David because I thought his first name was producer and his last name is David, and that's apparently not the case. So,
no, it's Wallace.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I did not know that. So, yeah, thanks, Lise.
Yeah.
You're all good.
I'm festive.
Harveston.
Hello.
What's going on? How
Harveston.
Are you?
Harveston. I'm good. I too have had the lurgy, but I'm not milking it as much.
You're
as,
a lot better than. Yeah. I mean, you have man flu though.
Oh yeah, which is worse.
I mean, yeah, you're
way
lucky
worse.
To be here.
Yeah, I went full Barry White on Sunday morning.
You were on the stories as Barry White, weren't you?
As Barry White tonight, Matthew. and I had a rubbish Sunday feeling like that. But no, apart from that, I'm pretty good.
Good.
It's a chaotic time of year.
It is in the olives world, isn't it?
It is.
Chaotic time for a lot of people because
and in the bad co world.
But people, it's funny, isn't it? Because your stepdad is a carpet fitter and he's busy at Christmas.
Yeah.
And you would think that who
people
needs a car? You know, people are just generally
because people
busy
have this
at Christmas.
Thing like they need to. It needs to be in by Christmas.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
It becomes a sort of landmark for people. A timeline. Now that needs to be done by Christmas.
I suppose you've got guests
and
coming
in the olive and the Etel world. It's everybody seems to forget it's Christmas every year. And then we have this sort of mad panic and it's all like loads of retail stuff and online shopping. So we are very, very busy.
And like you say, the Badco world.
The Badco world, very busy. We'll get onto that in a bit, I'm sure.
Well, I mean, it's been a good weekend for us with the Black Friday.
Yes.
We had Black Friday sale.
I didn't really know I was going to make that noise then.
I don't know what that noise was.
We haven't asked how you are before we go on to...
I think that... I'm okay. Mm-hmm. I am okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's been a bit of a week, if I'm honest. It's been a bit of a month. Should I go full disclosure?
I think so.
It's up to you.
So I had the operation on my shoulder a month ago, which I think I spoke about on the last podcast, and I thought it would be really easy, and it wasn't. And after 3 weeks, it still wasn't really where it needed to be, and we're just over 4 weeks now. But then, bless him, my old man had a heart attack last weekend, and that has been a really testing time. I won't go into the detail, but they basically told us to say goodbye to him on Tuesday, which was really tough. And then he got blue-lighted to Bristol Royal Infirmary, where they were just frigging amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And they saved his life, you know, and he's now, they put a new valve in his heart through a hole in his groin, which is unbelievable. I don't even know how you do that. And they genuinely saved his life. And yeah, it's been a bit of a week because I was literally told, you know, say goodbye to him. He's not going to survive this. And here he is now, and he's doing all right. I mean, he's 72. He's not that old, really.
No.
But yeah, it's been a hard week. The good thing that's come out of it, I mean, obviously the old man surviving is always a good thing. But we talk openly about our mental health in here, and it's been a real tough week. And the bit for me is my wife said, you probably need to go and talk to someone about this. And I'd already got in contact because I friggin' knew I needed to talk to someone. So I'm going to see my favourite ever counsellor.
Amazing.
On Friday.
Amazing.
Because I do need to talk about it, because this week, like the last month, as you guys know, not exercising is tough.
Yeah.
And that really gets to me. Not being able to do all the stuff I want to do gets you. Then I've been through a relatively hard time, and it's had a good ending, don't get me wrong. But the whole family react in different ways.
Yeah.
And people, like, emotions are high, man, and it's really tough.
That's a roller coaster, isn't it?
It's really tough. And I mean, you know, I'm like the lucky one. At least you were talking about your dad, and he was really, really sick, wasn't
he? Yeah, he was in intensive care for just over a week, and then in hospital for another 5 weeks after that, came out on oxygen. And they said to us he won't ever come off it. But like I was saying to you, 3 months later, he was off the oxygen and he was back doing all the things he used to do. And he had another year and a half nearly of living his life. And we, like say, we could have quite easily said goodbye to him or said, is this worth it? You know, for yeah. the life he's going to have.
Which is that's the discussion I had with the doctor. Like, I don't know what his quality of life's going to be. And, you know, I don't know where this is going to lead. And it's a really difficult conversation. You know, there was talk of resuscitation, do we or don't we? And I was really adamant with my decision and of which way I wanted it to go. And thank God they didn't have to get to that.
Yeah.
But you gave me a little bit of hope, Lise.
Good. I'm glad.
We were here in HQ. When was it? Saturday morning? No, it's Friday.
No, it
you
Friday,
were doing the
lunchtime,
you were doing the
yeah.
draw, the raffle draw, weren't you? And it's one of those moments where you'll never realise what you said. Oh. And you said, you told me that. And I thought, my God, there is hope, you know, because yeah. I had just written off any kind of hope. My realistic brain had said, this ain't going to get any better. And then you said, but it did for me.
Yeah.
And I know, you know, bless him, your dad still passed away 18 months later. But you had 18
yeah,
months
yeah.
and he was, and I remember seeing him out and about.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. Well, because you saw him uptown once yeah. you in boots with his oxygen.
Yeah,
I remember
yeah.
you saying, like, he wouldn't have any help, but he was, like, struggling with his can. He still
yeah.
with his can.
I tried to carry it for him and he was like, no,
yeah.
I'm
but
all right.
But then they say, like, 3 months later, they yeah. were like, you don't need it anymore.
Amazing.
Which is incredible. But,
just
yeah.
goes to show the human body is
yeah.
it's pretty good.
If you're not ready to go,
yeah,
you ain't going. They're
yeah.
stubborn.
And, that, and my lad, who, you know, he said to me, he goes, oh, they call him Pop Pops, my old man. And he goes, oh, I knew Pop Pops would be all right because he's real stubborn. He ain't ready
yeah.
to die. And I thought, yeah, he's right. So anyway, yeah, but other than that, I'm fine, mate. Thanks
yeah,
for asking.
Yeah.
Just quit checking. But I think it does, you know, it's a good thing to talk about because we talk about when we know we're ready to go and talk to someone and just me making that decision and saying, yes, I'm ready to talk, has almost taken a bit of weight off my shoulders already.
Yeah. So I think it's that cool. step of admitting you need the extra help, isn't
yeah.
it? That makes it, you know,
yeah.
feel
yeah.
really lighter important. And easier.
But I think that also leads us into this week's topic, which we won't talk about just yet, but we could probably say what the topic is. So what are we talking about?
We're talking about being kind to ourselves.
because I need to be kind to myself.
I think we all need to be kinder, don't we? But yeah, how to be kind to yourself.
Yeah, and I think when you're going through tough times, it's very easy to beat yourself up. And I think the three of us, and I'm not putting you in this, PD, because I don't, but we beat ourselves up about everything. I don't know if you are included in that, PD, but I know you have beat yourself up about everything. And I know you, Lise, absolutely do, and I beat myself up. Whereas we're real cheerleaders for each other, but when it comes to cheerleading yourself, we're not so good at that. But anyway, let's get a little rewind. So we need to talk about that bucket there and the raffle that you pulled the other day.
Yes.
So that came off the back of The Bad Cabaret. Tell us about
this
it.
This is my jazz hands that you can't amazing. See. But yeah, the Bow Street Singers put on a 2-night event at the local arts centre, which was just brilliant, wasn't it? We got to see it. And it was just incredible.
It was frigging fantastic, wasn't it?
It was amazing, yeah.
I had no idea what it was going to be like. And then,
I don't think we did, really.
It was just...
Well, I did.
Oh,
I don't think... See, that's one of the things that I think you kind of... I think you underestimate sometimes what's happening. Like, I knew it was going to be like that, but I don't think you did.
No, I didn't. I don't. I tend not to think about things.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
big
I'm not saying, yeah, you don't think about things.
No, but big events, it's like I've
like, it was a black tie event.
Yeah.
Like, I knew it was going to be awesome. And then halfway through the first night, you're like, this is amazing, isn't it? I was thinking, what did you expect? Like,
well, I just don't really think too much about big events because I get overwhelmed by the thought of them. So I don't allow myself to think about them
but
until
that's
I'm
fair
there.
Enough. Yeah. I mean, there was 175 people each night.
Yeah.
And it was sold out, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was sold out. And I mean, it raised...
5,200.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's incredible.
That is amazing.
And it was like local acts where they wrote a show, basically, didn't they? And kind of forgetting to book acts. And
and there's a lot of local talent.
Yeah.
There's some amazing talent. It was really good.
It was.
But massive shout out to Queen of All Raffles, who, because it was such a busy night, what Lise did, and so you guys, you got to imagine this. So Lise is selling raffle tickets. So she hands over a strip and then she just writes on the back of the whole ticket someone's number. And then afterwards, she literally, which I think is amazing, tore every single ticket out of the book, folded every single ticket, and then drew it genuinely.
Amazing.
Now, Harv, would you have done that?
I'm just going to say Lisa's way more disciplined and
patient
than I am. Yeah,
she's doing this properly.
I didn't have a quicker solution for that.
Yeah, like, but I didn't get it because there was a bit going on.
Yeah.
I didn't notice until about 2 hours later, and I was sat in the car driving to Bristol or wherever we were going, and I went, office ladies in the car, and I went, oh my God, Lise, like, literally tore every ticket out and folded it and then pulled the raffle genuinely. And Nick was like, yeah, of course she did. And I was like, wow, I wouldn't have done
just gone down the list and gone, stop.
Yeah, just pick a couple.
But yeah, I've still got a couple of people to contact, actually. So,
but no, well done.
Heard,
thanks.
You might
for
still
that.
Have won something.
I mean, the raffle alone raised £500. So,
yeah,
well
amazing.
Done. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it is.
And then Friday night, whilst my old man was in having heart surgery, what were we doing?
We were having fish and chips and running a bar.
That was great.
Because that's what we do. Yeah, so that was at the Shaftesbury Town Hall. Alex Chase, the mayor, hosted the mayor's quiz evening, and I think there was 70 odd people there, lots of teams. We sold out on the bar, didn't we? We did a real concerted,
literally sold
all the booze, and people were really generous, and we sold some merch, and again raised a load more money and awareness, and it was another. Really, really
quid.
Lovely evening, yeah.
£300 we made out of that, so that's going into the charity pot. So there's £800 straight in there this weekend.
And some good
the
fish
last
and
week.
Chips.
Oh, yeah. Big shout out
good.
To Fish and Chips.
Very
it's really good.
Good.
Mr. Chips is a little van that drives around. They're in Mockham on a Tuesday,
Mockham
I know that.
Mockham on a Tuesday, yeah.
And they go other places as well. Big shout out to them.
Oh, tonight they're in Mockham.
Tonight, yeah. Unfortunately, she goes by about 8, I think.
Oh, does she?
Yeah.
So, Lise... Tell us what you've been up to.
So
last Saturday. Right, who doesn't believe in themselves in this room? Just put your hand up if you don't believe in yourself. Oh, Lise, is that your hand
that
up?
That would be me.
Oh, right, okay. Tell us what you did.
So we mentioned on the last podcast that there was a gym competition being put on by Abbey View Physio at R. Lukens in Pimpern. And me and Nicola were entering to kind of represent Bagco.
Do you remember the conversation before you went, Lise, where I said, I bet you'll win that.
And
you went, no, I'm just taking part. Tell us what happened, Lise.
We did end up winning.
Yeah.
And for us, unsurprisingly, we got there and we were like, it was there was a lot of people there and we were a bit anxious and a bit like, oh God, what have we let ourselves in for? And we were like, well, someone's got to come last. That was what we said to each other. Someone's got to come last. And then, yeah, we ended up winning.
Well done.
It's ridiculous that you even put yourself in that bracket.
I know. I feel a bit like, you know, when you're at school and there's always like some kid who's super brainy, super like, and they always go, oh, I did really bad in that test, I did really bad in that exam.
Oh, yeah.
And you know that they've like revised.
Yeah.
And you just think like, oh, they know. But like for me, I have like really bad imposter syndrome. So I get to these events and I'm like, people are going to be like, what is she doing here?
But also the lady you're doing it with is also super fit and super...
Oh, like, two of the strongest girls I know. Yeah, and absolutely.
She's probably very similar to me in the fact that like we don't understand maybe what level we're at. We don't...
But Nicola's the same as you. Yeah.
Self-belief.
Yeah, and Nicola will always... She always
absolutely
undersells, underestimates what she's capable of.
Yeah,
and this is where we're all each other's greatest cheerleaders, and we need to believe in ourselves, isn't it?
It is.
But you guys did awesome. Well done.
Really
and on our social media, that got loads of likes. Aww. People were loving it.
Good.
So well
done.
It was
a really good competition, and they've got a really good setup over there. Their new, it's called The Forge, I think. It's open in January. And the guy Ben who owns it, and there was another guy Charlie, I think his name was, who ran it, and they were just really great guys. Everyone made us feel welcome, and it was just a real nice morning of fitness and exercise. And
that's,
you know,
awesome.
A lot of people over there struggle.
A win for Team Badco.
Well done for winning it, and thank you for repping back.
You're more than welcome.
So Lise, what are you sitting next to right now?
Oh, this thing on my left.
No, not PD.
Oh. No, the other side. That's a brand new embroidery machine.
Oh, my God. Where did that come from, huh?
Well, that's a Rakoma single head embroidery machine, I think.
You'll find it's got 10 needles.
It's got 10 needles, of which I cannot see the eyes of to Fred, but that's a different story. So, yeah, what would naturally follow a fitness competition would be discussion around an embroidery machine.
And why is there one in this?
Because this is Badco.
The question should be, why wouldn't there be one?
Why wouldn't there be, exactly?
Why hasn't there been one sooner?
As everybody knows, we sell our merch, our clothing, to raise money to help those that require early intervention, life-saving counselling. And
you said that real fast.
It just rolls off the tongue.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Said it way too many times.
Yeah. And some of our merch is embroidered, and we've taken that in-house. So we do the embroidery ourselves here at Badco HQ. And we all had a little training session on it.
It was a good day.
There was some interesting comments. There's a lot of innuendo in embroidery that we didn't realise until we started.
But when he told me, been in your element.
There was too much slack around.
You love an innuendo.
He said I had too much slack around my hoop.
The thing was as well, was the guy who did the training, he's a really lovely chap.
Yeah.
David, his name was. And he was from Oop North. Blackburn, they were
Blackburn,
from.
Blackburn,
Lancashire. That is north, isn't it? Or is that
that is north.
Yeah.
Yeah, he left at 4 a.m. to like get it. And he did not get our sense of humour at all.
No,
not
he
one
did
little
not.
Bit. He thinks a hooping station is not funny. Whereas we were like, and when he was talking about the bobbin,
I feel really sorry.
Yeah, well, it kind of went over his head. So he's telling us about the bobbin. So in the bottom of that machine, there's a little bobbin. So the first thing I said was, did you wind that up? And he just looked at me and carried on. And then you came in 5 minutes later and you said
exactly the same
something
thing.
Very similar, and he just went over his head. So we had a great day. I don't think
just being polite.
Yeah, he's been very polite. I don't think he had a great day as we did.
A long day for him.
Yeah.
I think he wanted to get his job done, and but we learned how to use a machine and had a laugh along the way. So what more could you want?
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, so if you're it's good for your mental health, buy an embroidery machine.
Yeah. And also buy our embroidered merch because it's done.
Do that. Don't buy an embroidery machine.
Yeah. And then we can do the embroidery for you, and you can buy our merch, and you'll support people for early intervention, life saving counselling. So that's why we've got an embroidery machine in the room with us.
That was like you were on 2x speed. You know when you like skip through
a
video.
Yeah, when you press the button, your voice note too quick.
Have you got at least one person in your WhatsApp that you put on 2x speed whenever they talk?
No.
Have you not?
Who do you?
I just have people that I just need to like speed them up.
Hey,
No, you're fine.
Always eating when I'm talking.
Yeah, speed you up. Just to stop you eating. I just wondered if anybody else did that.
No, just
only
you.
By accident.
So name. And then what happened on Sunday? It was Sunday, wasn't it? Yeah, Sunday.
No, Saturday.
Oh my God, I don't even know what day it is.
The Saturday just gone. The competition was the Saturday before.
No, I'm talking about the next one on our agenda.
Morag.
Yeah,
Saturday.
Was it?
Yeah.
Because I recently
Friday was a quiz.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
You were in Bristol.
I was in Bristol. Oh, my God. Yeah. Do you know how much it cost to get in Bristol?
Oh, yeah. Too much.
Let's not talk about it. No. In the end, we took Ollie's car because my lad's got a little Alfa Romeo and that's free to drive it into Bristol. So in the end, we're four of us in that.
I know. It's ridiculous, isn't
it? It's 14 quid a day to drive into Bristol.
Clean air zone.
And then to park.
Yeah. The, but what I was thinking about, people who've got like, who are in hospital and having treatment all the time, how do they afford it? Because chances are...
I think
are
you can get an exemption.
The park.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can get, you get. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But we found that when Josh was in for an extended period, I found out after about a week of paying every day for parking that we were entitled to a pass.
Yeah. Okay.
But better late than never. So yeah, if you're in Bristol Hospital, or I guess most hospitals, there are ways to
that
get
was before
support.
The clean air zone, I suppose.
That was before the clean air. Yeah, you can do what you want then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we drove...
take a steam engine. Steam engine.
He drove his horses into Bristol. It was 14 quid a day, and then like... I think it's like £9 a day to park because in the end I just parked at Cabot and walked across because it's just it was cheaper and easy. But anyway, sorry. So Saturday or Sunday, whichever day it was.
Yeah, Saturday afternoon.
What happened?
Morag, who's one of our amazing supporters, who works in our local Tesco's, decided she was going to do a bike challenge. So she borrowed a bike from Jack at the local gym.
At Hawkers. Big shout out to Hawkers.
And got people to sign up for 20-minute stints from 10 till 4 just to see how far we could go and raise some money.
So she raised £372.
It was amazing. The amount of people who were putting notes in that
that's
charity bucket.
Isn't it?
Brilliant.
Because I was thinking, I'm one of those people, I go to Tesco's, I don't take money, I take my phone and do it all on, you know, whatever.
What really
is.
Worked
that's my button.
Is, yeah. So can I just, sorry.
No, Halfman, no, we're moving on.
Oh, okay, good. No, a couple of things about Morag's event on Saturday, cycling event outside Tesco's, because one of them was a really sort of, not almost emotional moment where I walked towards Tesco, because I'd been in Bristol too, it's like the thing to do, isn't it?
But you were actually in Brislington, weren't you?
I was in Brislington.
But we drove through Brislington and I thought of you.
Yeah, thank you very much. And I got back to Shaftesbury and I just in time to see how they were getting on. And walking into that Tesco foyer... seeing the Badco banner and the Badco tablecloths and then people doing an activity to raise money for Badco and just stood around talking and the buckets and that there and people wearing the merch and it was nothing to do with us. It was something that somebody had put on for us. That was a really like, I don't know, really
humbling
moment. Yeah, it was lovely to see, really nice to see. And Morag's brilliant because she loves a challenge. She loves what she does, loves what we do. And she's really popular in Tesco's, in the local Tesco's.
The amount of people who are going past who knew her, who she obviously serves on the deals and stuff. Yeah. She was just, and she's constantly like, put your hand in your pocket then, put your hand in your pocket. She was making people get their wallets out. Yeah. Whereas I would be awful at doing that kind of thing. I'd just be like, oh, thank you if they do. But she was like, get some money out then. Because they'd be going, oh, go faster, Morag. She would put your money where your mouth is, get your wallet out. There's a cash point over there. Some one bloke says, I haven't got any cash on me. She went, there's a cash point over there. Made him go take some money out. Come
so 372 quid. Yeah.
372
quid. So a person through counselling.
That's amazing.
And it was so
Saturday
simple
afternoon.
As well, wasn't it? To like, and we said the next one we're going to do is a rowing because we've done swimming, we've done cycling.
So yeah, and like Jack from Hawkers, I literally sent him a text and said, hey, Jack, hope everything's good. Do you reckon, you know, Morag's doing this challenge? I need you to deliver a bike on Saturday or whatever the date was by 9:30. He just comes back, yeah, no problem, mate, I'll sort out.
That's lovely. Like, there are some great people.
Doesn't even like, oh, well, I'll see what... Yeah, no worries. Text him a couple of days before. He's like, yeah, I'm on it. It's all good. And then they just did it.
Yeah.
Like, that's just fantastic. And bearing in mind, that bike is probably worth a couple of grand.
Yeah.
You know, he's just like, yeah, cool. Carry on. Like, amazing. Amazing people's generosity. So a big thank you to everyone who's helped us over the last month. It's been really good. Well, who's helped us forever. It's great, isn't it? Such amount of supporters. Right. What are we doing on Sunday, Harv? Tell me.
Church.
No. After you've been to church.
Oh, okay. Sorry. The market. Artisan Christmas market in Shaftesbury.
It's in the High Street.
It's in the High Street. We're on Park Walk, aren't we?
No, I don't think they do Park Walk anymore.
Oh.
They stopped doing it because there was all the complaints. Don't you remember? Park Walk Gate.
Park Walk Gate.
No, don't you remember all the locals kicked off because we were all stuffed on Park Walk and then no one had walked down the end of it. The lady who runs it, I think she said, well, it's a Sunday, the High Street's closed. Everyone's going to go on the High Street then.
Yeah. So well, that's where we'll be on Sunday, and we'll be selling them. Come and get your Christmas presents.
Absolutely.
And just come and say hi. We were talking earlier about the people that just love to come along and say hi, so we'll be there. We'll be pleased to see you.
And that will be the last day for ordering.
That will also be the last day for ordering.
Sunday the 8th is the last day for ordering to guarantee it for Christmas.
Yeah.
So get
yourself
done. Not
only can you guarantee it for Christmas if you come to the market, you can take it with you.
If we've got it in stock.
If we've got it in stock. which we will have. The thing you want, we've got. Will this even be out by then?
No.
Oh, well, forget everything I just said.
It'll be out soon.
Yeah, but that means it's the third today and the market's on the 8th, so you've got 5 days.
Done.
All right. Ooh. Oh, he's going to do
That's
it.
That's a challenge.
That was a man with, like, commitment there. I like it. David, your sideburns are getting very big. Yes.
Chops.
That's an acknowledgement of his chops of moss. Okay. Dorchester Market on the 15th of December, we're down there.
Yes, we are.
And then possibly, I like the possibly the Town Hall Market
on the 21st of December. Trustee meeting.
Yes, because, I'm not available for that one, I'm afraid.
Where
Which
are you?
Will have no impact on sales whatsoever, but yeah.
It will, but no one will come if you're not there, so you better be.
I have a family Christmas meal that I must be at.
What, before Christmas?
Yes, because, you know.
We should have done this episode about Christmas. That's what we should have done. And now it gets dragged out for months. Like, the Christmas song started mid-November.
Oh, no, I can't do it. I can't do anything before December. I can bear the Christmas songs now we're in December, but anything before that, I'm not having it.
I don't know. Like, I spoke to your mum the other day, and she said, you can't fight it. You've got to embrace it. And I thought, that's actually a really good attitude to have.
Yeah, because she hasn't always had that attitude.
No. She said it was only recently. She said it was only recently. But, you have just got to embrace it. But Christmas goes on for...
Like, far too long.
Like, people have put up inflatables in their gardens in mid-November.
Well, so again, I mean, I don't.
Malcolm's full of them.
I don't want to talk shop, but at work we've been with one customer. We've just done the Christmas nut lines 2025. So we're not even talking this Christmas. We're talking next Christmas.
But is that a massive customer?
They are a pretty big customer.
Yeah.
So but they're just always living in that world.
Wow.
And then when they get to a Christmas, personally, it must be pretty rubbish.
That's like built up in a long time, isn't it? It, you know, like I say, Christmas doesn't start in our house until after Ollie's birthday. But
I think the trouble is when you start too early, by the time it actually gets to Christmas, you're fed up of it. And then by Boxing Day, you want to get your tree down.
Oh, tree's got to be down the day after Boxing
Whereas
Day.
Whereas I would like to drag it out a little bit longer.
No, see, if I had my way... If I had my way, it would go up on Christmas Eve and it'd come down on Boxing Day and Christmas would last 2 hours in the morning, that'd be it. Go on with your day. I walked past a guy a couple of years ago and he was fitting double glazing in his own house and I thought, that's my guy. Like, fair play to you. He's got a quiet day. He's just like, he's done Christmas. You've all got your presents. I'm just going out to fit the bedroom window. See ya. Fair play to him. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think it's a good thing to do.
Bob Mortimer said we should have Christmas every 2 years. I think that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, that is a good... Yeah, people would like that, wouldn't they? That would be
good.
Get
a year off.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll do a whole episode on it next Christmas.
Next
there you go.
Christmas.
Podcast 2025 December. Sorted.
Yeah, we'll do it in July.
Right. So, what are we talking about? Oh, Harv's got cramp.
I've got
you okay?
Cramp. Yeah.
We'll cut that bit out. Right, Lise, what are we talking about?
We're talking about learning to be kind to yourself.
Okay, well, tell us how to do that.
So, I've got some facts. Well, not really facts.
I love Lise's
just, like,
facts. I love the way she pulls these facts. It's amazing,
it's
isn't
just
it?
Just research, isn't it?
Research. That's
Do you remember back in the day, Radio 1, they'd always have their researcher?
Yeah.
That's you.
I researched it last night. So, self-compassion, sorry, my voice is getting higher. Self-compassion helps calm your nervous system and reduce stress and anxiety. It releases oxytocin, which is a chemical that increases feelings of trust, safety and calm, and helps regulate your nervous system, whereas criticism feels like a threat and puts you in the flight or fight or freeze response. So there you go. By criticizing ourselves, we're constantly in that kind of fight or flight mode, and people who are higher in self-compassion experience fewer symptoms of illness, lower intensity pain and better quality of sleep.
Okay, so how do we do that?
This is a good question. I don't really know.
No,
so I've been telling them, it's funny you should say it, because I've been telling my friends lately, I had an incident with a friend the other day. She was starting at the gym and she was like, I'm going to be rubbish. I haven't been to the gym. I'm unfit. I'm unhealthy, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, if one of your girls has taken up a new hobby, you would not be discouraging them at all. You'd be like, you're new to it. It'll take a few weeks. You'll get used to it. I was like, so you need to talk to yourself like you would. They say, like, talk to yourself like you would someone you're taking care of.
Yeah.
So, like, if your kids wanted to do something or they were doing something and they were like, I'm useless at this, I'm rubbish. Or, like, I was saying, like, every time I take a photo of myself, I'm like, oh, God, I look dreadful. There's no way in the world I would tell my niece she looks dreadful in a photo.
No.
Like, I wouldn't go, oh, Mo, that's a dreadful photo of you, let's take another. But we do it to ourselves all the time, don't we? Like, constantly put ourselves down. And
it's so difficult, isn't it?
Isn't it? That's, like, a really interesting reversal of the treat other people as you would wish to be treated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maxim. Treat yourself as you would wish
to be treated,
to
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a bit of a
really good. I love it. I love that.
In Jordan Peterson's 12 Rules for Life.
If you can even understand that book,
one
like,
bit.
I mean, I had to give up in the end because it was like I was reading it in a different language.
It is a slog. I mean, why use one word when 40 will do?
You've heard him talk, though, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But there are some good principles in there, and one of them, I'm not going to get the wording right, but I've actually shared it with you guys before. But the analogy he uses to explain it, and this is all to do with self-care, is statistically the number of people that make sure their pets have got medicine and then don't give themselves the, when they've got medicine, they don't give themselves the correct dose, or they don't make sure they've got it all the time. But for their cat or their dog or their fish, they make sure they've got exactly what they want when they need it.
What is that?
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I've been particularly unkind to myself in the last month because obviously I can't exercise. I mean, I can walk, so I've been doing a lot of that. And obviously stress levels for the last month have been quite high because I haven't been able to exercise and life has been a little bit on pause with, you know, the shoulder up and then the old man not being very well. So I do what I do because of my addictive brain, and food gives you a little spike of feeling good. So that's what I do. So I go, yeah, cool, I'm going to eat chocolate, crisps. You know, drink fizzy drinks, do what, you know, which normally when life is settled and normal, I don't do that. Now, if I was talking to a friend of mine, what I would say is, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Like, don't worry about it. Yeah, you might gain a couple of pounds. You might be a little bit out of shape, but don't worry, you'll get it back. You know, you'll be cool. Once your shoulder's better, you'll be back in the pool. You'll be back swimming. You'll be back running, cycling. You'll be fine. But what do I say to myself?
Yeah.
I say the exact opposite.
That's the thing, isn't
and
it?
And I just beat myself up and go, well, you know, you've screwed today because by midday you've eaten something that you wouldn't normally eat, and so the rest of the day's written off. So, do you know what? The rest of the week's written off. The rest of the year's written off. So just do whatever you do. You might as well never run again. You might as well cut your bike in half. You might as well never get them. Do you know what I mean? And, like,
yeah,
your brain just goes...
It spirals, doesn't it? When
yeah.
you're being, like, constantly mean to yourself. Like, if someone else is being constantly mean to you, it'd make you unhappy.
Yeah.
So,
but I'm everyone else's like biggest cheerleader. Like if I saw someone talking to me like you were saying about your friend and they said, I haven't run for 20 years, but I'm going to go for a run, I'd be there cheering for them, stood on the side of the road saying, you can do it, go for it. But because it's me, I'm like, oh, well, that run was terrible. I only did a 10-minute mile and I used to be able to do a 7-minute mile. Which, of course, I'm not going to be able to do that, you know?
It is hard. It's really hard. And I think one of the other things they said you should do is, like, forgive yourself is another big thing.
Yeah.
I think, like, we're all really hard on ourselves when we make mistakes. I am particularly hard on myself if I make a mistake or I think I've messed up or, you know, and I'm more hard on myself, I think, about... I always feel bad that I've not, you know, necessarily hit the same milestones that everyone else has by this age, you know, and I'm not married, I haven't got children, I've only recently bought a house, and I'm really hard on myself about those things. And I'm like, you know, I'm a failure. My marriage failed, my relationships fail, I don't have children. And I think it's really hard. Like, say, if someone else was saying that to me, I'd be like, but look at what you have got.
Yeah, you know? And like when I look at you and you say those things, I'm like, but look at your life.
Yeah.
There'd be so many people that are envious of the freedom you have.
Yeah.
And the fact that you can go to the gym, you are always doing something.
Yeah.
You've got a really like tight knit bunch of mates.
Yeah.
That some ladies who have gone and had kids don't have.
No. And also like those things, I know relationship breakups aren't always one, but they're not necessarily my fault. Like, you know, my marriage breakdown wasn't mainly my fault.
Yeah.
My last relationship wasn't my fault. Like, they're not, you've just got to forgive yourself for making, that's part of being human, isn't it? Making mistakes. Like, no one's perfect. We're all built to make mistakes and learn from them.
Yeah.
It's just giving yourself that grace that you would give other people, I think.
I saw a thing on Instagram and it was saying about how if you turn those negative thoughts, the ones like, you know, like you were saying there, and you know, I'm not judging or anything here, but like you said there, you know, I say, you know, I haven't got kids, my marriage failed, my relationships fail. But if you can flick it round to see the positive on that, to say, yeah, but I'm free, I can do
that
what I want.
That was one of my things, one of my counsellors gave me to do, write down all my negative thoughts.
Yeah,
and put them into a positive. And that,
you know, and then that will boost, because you've got a positive outlook, that will boost your, you know, your own mental health and probably endorphins and all sorts of stuff to say, but look at what I have got, you know. But being kind on yourself is really hard.
He is really.
Have you said nothing? Are you beating yourself up?
Because you're really young.
He's literally sat in a corner beating himself up.
I find this a really hard topic, if I'm honest, because I think it's the window from which you view it. Again, looking at you guys, I would tell you two exactly the same things you've, like what Ad has just told Lise. I say the same to you about how much of a cheerleader you are for other people. You need to do it for yourself. But when you turn those things inward, it's like, to me, self-gratitude becomes arrogance if it's me doing it to me. Self-care becomes selfish.
Oh, no, self-care is not selfish. I totally disagree.
Well, that's one of the things why it's so hard to do.
That's what I'm telling you, how I feel.
Oh my God, Harv, no, you can't.
But that's that. All of those things, outwardly looking, are great. Inwardly looking, they have a different definition. They look differently.
Yeah, because when you're putting yourself first, it generally means that someone else is getting, their needs are getting put back, or you're being, like, you're hurting someone else, which it's hard to do, because, you know, if you're putting yourself first, especially someone who's, like, for me, I'm a people pleaser, so I find it super hard to do that.
So, when the oxygen mask comes down on the plane,
exactly.
Who should you put on first?
I know the analogies, and I would tell you all.
Because if you ain't got your oxygen mask on, you can't help anyone else.
Save
that life, man. Yeah. Same, and I literally had that conversation with my mum last week, because she wouldn't go home, she wouldn't go to sleep, she wouldn't eat anything. And I literally said to her, Mum, if he's lucky enough to come home, you've got to look after him, you need to put your oxygen mask on.
Yeah.
You know, I think my mum had that conversation with me when I was quite a lot younger. I think he had the conversation. It was quite weird and hard for me, where it's like, we're the most important, me and your dad are the most important people in this house, because if we're not around, you don't get anything.
Yeah.
We need to, and so, but I was being, you know, selfish and young.
Yeah, of course,
And it's just, you, but it's right. It's like,
I don't like that though, Harv. I don't like that you think that self-care is selfish. I want
not
to change.
For you or for
no,
you.
No, 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 no. No, but I want to change your mindset.
It's important for you guys to be.
The thing is, it is selfish. What I'm saying is, selfishness is not.
But that's okay.
In this context.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? That's okay. Just struggle with it. I've got no notes written down on it.
But
and then when we put in the group, we were going to talk about this. I was like, I'm going to take notes. I don't know.
Was that what you meant? I'm going to take notes when you put that in the group chat.
Let's work out how this thing works.
Well, I don't know.
Manches.
Oh, here we go.
Manches.
But I was going to say none of us got the answers, but Lisa.
Ways to be kind to yourself.
Mantras.
Yeah, as in like, I've messed up, but that's okay. I'm doing the best that I can with what I know. Like, so if something goes wrong, like, that's the thing, we are all just doing our best.
We're all doing our best, man.
You know, and I'm a human, and humans make mistakes. So you've just got to tell yourself those things when something goes wrong. And the other thing was practice kindness for other people as well. So the kinder you are, with the theory that the kinder you are to everyone, that then impacts you being kind to yourself. But I'm not sure that one works, because I think we're all quite kind to each other and other people. Mm. But I'm the last person I'm kind to.
Yeah, but I don't know, because I think people who aren't very kind think that they're the best and that nothing goes wrong and they never make mistakes.
They must be really happy.
Well, I think internally they are, but
that's
everyone
I mean.
Around them aren't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Oh, my God. Like, we're never going to unstitch this one, are we? The one thing, I was talking to a friend of mine today and we were talking about Mel Robbins and Let Them. You know, we've talked about it in here.
Theory, they let them through,
and it's just let them. You know, they're running a 10-minute mile while you're doing a 15-minute mile. We'll let them. You know, they're out climbing a mountain while you're at work. We'll let them. You know, they're bitching behind your back while you're working hard. Let them.
Yeah.
And I think it's just two words, let them.
Yeah.
And maybe that will make us feel a bit kinder to ourselves.
Yeah.
Literally nothing from half today.
Do you think you're kind to yourself? Or do you think you're hard on yourself? Like, I would openly say I'm hard on myself all the time. Like, I can't remember the last time I said I look nice in that photo, or I've done a good job, or I'm really proud of myself. I don't know the last time I said that about myself.
Yeah, but that probably goes for all of us, doesn't it?
That's what I mean. Like, do you think?
I high five myself in the mirror every morning.
Do you?
No, absolutely not.
And like people say, oh my God, you must be like, and to you guys as well, they say, oh, you must be so proud of yourself, so proud of what you've done. And then like, but do you ever go, yeah, I am. Like, we are.
Do you know, that's a really funny thing, because people do say that.
Yeah.
And I am a bit proud. I am a bit proud of what we've done, because so many people told us we couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And so many people say, well, I wouldn't have done it like that. Don't they?
Yeah, oh yeah, get that.
And people
a lot,
come
yeah.
along
what
and go, oh yeah, what you need to do, or what you should have done, and what you should do.
Yeah, and get a lot of them.
And I think when those people say that, I then look at them and think, but you ain't done it.
Yeah.
And like, we're not getting this right. We make mistakes all over the place.
Well, there's no
we?
Blueprint for this, is
no.
there?
Doing it.
Exactly. And I think that is a key. We've always said that, haven't we? Just do it, you know, just go for it. Yeah.
Okay. Less thinking, okay, more doing. One thing you're proud of yourself for lately. Let's
proud
be kind
of yourself.
To yeah, like, let's do it.
Well,
now.
I mean, what we just spoke about there, bad cat, I'm quite proud of that.
You?
What, I'm proud of myself.
Yeah, so something lately, like, be kind to yourself. Say something nice about yourself, or like... So you can't do it, can you? I'm going to struggle. Don't ask me, because I'm going to
No, you've got to go. Go on.
This is really hard. I won winning that competition.
Yeah.
Oh, well done.
Like, I'm proud of that. It was hard work, and then we did well. But yeah, I wouldn't have said that on the day, though. I wouldn't come home and gone, I'm really proud of myself. I'd have been like, yeah, there wasn't that much competition. There was only like 4 or 5 teams.
My God, that what's horrible about that is I literally cannot think of anything. There's like... Yeah.
You need to work on this. Tomorrow, you need to tell yourself something you're proud of.
Yeah, there's loads you should be proud of.
Yeah, but myself.
Yeah, because you're just your expectations of yourself.
But you see, like, Badco, that's not, and I'm not taking it away. Like, but I don't see as Badco as me.
No, but if you listen to the words I used when I answered that question, I'm proud of what we've done.
Yeah, we. Exactly. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, yeah, but you're part.
But what are you proud of then, Harv?
Yeah, like you personally. Yeah.
But because I'm part of that we.
Yeah, you are.
Part of that we. Okay, I'm a little bit proud of on Friday night when I didn't know I was going to have to speak in front of that room of people.
God, mate, you should be proud.
You
did awesome.
You should be massively proud, not a little bit. Take out a little bit.
Yeah, but I'm just like, but I should be able to do that.
No, public speaking's hard. Not many people are as good as him at doing it. And just pick up a mic and...
She's pointing at Adam Collins, by the way, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, and also, I mean, I found how hard the stories were on Saturday.
Oh.
And I recorded 20 versions on my phone.
Can we just jump
like
to my
2
rant?
Seconds.
Can we jump to my rant? Okay. I think we can't.
But only if you practice some self-care.
Are you going to be proud of your rant?
Tomorrow.
I'm proud of my... yeah. No.
Your family. I'm very proud of your family, can't you?
I'm proud of them, yeah.
The role that you play, though, in...
Wow. Oh, my God, I get that wrong more than I get it right.
Oh, no,
I'm not proud
you,
of
like,
that.
I can remember saying to you at the ball, like how... Sorry.
No,
Evie and Ollie turning up on that Saturday night, like, to help you guys out, like...
Yeah, I'm super proud
age,
of them.
Yeah, yeah, like...
I'm
them,
so
exactly proud of them.
But I'm not proud of me... Because
like you've made
you don't see what happens
there.
To me on closed doors when they're saying, "Dad, why are you being like that?" Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't, like, that's the bit that no one sees behind the closed doors, and I'm not proud. I'm super proud of them. You know.
But you should be proud of the role you played in that, because they're good kids.
And that's very kind of you to say, and I'm very proud of them.
Okay. Sorry, I interrupted you.
Nah, that's right.
Carry on.
Can I flick to my rant? Because we're not going to unstitch this anyway.
No.
Harv?
Yeah? What?
So he zoned out, right? My rant.
No, because David was saying, I was just thinking that was, that was quite emotive, that whole thing.
What about families?
About families and being proud and what some people call proud and other people just call just doing what you need to do.
Yes, that's a good point. I think it is a lot about definitions, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's about what you mean by what pride is, because I know what you mean. Like, you kind of feel like you get on with life.
Well, you'd be a good parent, because that's what you need to be, isn't it?
Not everyone is a good parent.
No, I know, but...
But you do your best. That's what you do.
But is your best ever good enough?
No, of course it's not.
Does your best ever make you proud?
I think we've established that.
Because, like, I can tackle most things, like problems, and I can fix most stuff. But it doesn't make me proud, because I just think, well, I just worked it out.
You're right.
I just worked it out.
When you say it like that, I do feel like day-to-day life, you do the best you can. It's not something I feel proud of.
No.
I'm just,
if I fixed a car, I'd be like, God, I'm proud of myself.
Yeah, but see...
If I checked my oil, I'd be proud of myself.
So my KTM let go, like the whole engine blew up, and I had that like literally in the bits, and I rebuilt it. I'm not proud of it. I'm glad I worked it out, and it took me a long time, and it took, and I enjoyed it because it was a massive problem to solve. Am I proud? No. Because anyone could do it. Difficult.
It's difficult. It's
anyway, I reckon our audience would be zoned out by now because I think they're like, oh my God, just be proud of
just
something.
Be nice to each other. Be nice to yourself.
Write to us, thebraveanddetermined@gmail.com, and tell us what you personally are proud of. You people out there, reach out. Tell us what you're proud of, because we need to know. Right, I'm going to flick to my rant,
okay,
because
you can go to your rants.
I've got to go through this. So my rant is about Instagram. And the two people I'm looking at in this room...
Oh, here we go. I know what this is going to be.
Yeah, you already know what it's going to be. Because
I'm not
proud. Huh? I love you two more than you can imagine.
It's about
But my rant is about
fucking
you two.
Shit sandwich.
My rant is about you two.
I will be done.
I know what it's going to be.
Right, so my rant is, I love you guys. I want everyone to appear...
Stop saying that now.
I want everyone to appear on the stories, because it's not... This is us, man. This is us.
I thought you were going to say, like, I'm fed up of seeing your gym stories for the fact that you've worked out.
No. Why would I say that?
Oh, I don't know.
My rant is about, you guys are great on the stories, and people love seeing you, and people love hearing from you. And my rant is about, go on, Harv, what is it? Because you already know.
Stop apologising.
Stop apologising.
Be kind to
yourself. The first things you guys say is, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not very good at this. And the worst one that you say is, I'm not as good as Mr. Collins. I hate it. I hate that you say that.
Yeah, but your stories are fucking great.
Yeah, but yours are fucking great.
Honestly, my camera reel, there was about 25
I'll
different
tell you
takes
what,
of that.
I'm past that stage. Like, you just press go.
Yeah, no.
You guys are great. I want to see you on there every day.
Okay.
This is us.
Every day.
But what I mean, right, so, Lise, if I could ever give you a bit of advice, and don't take it from me because I don't know what I'm doing.
No.
You have to walk. You can't sit still.
Okay.
If you walk, it makes it so much easier.
Oh, really?
Because you're just walking.
Yeah.
And your body's doing something. If I sit still, I can't do it.
Okay.
I have to walk.
That's where I went wrong then.
Yeah. I have to move or do something. So there you go. That might help.
Try that next time.
No apologies. Please, from now on, you're not allowed to apologise.
It is hard though.
I do like how Ad's rant was a kind of compliment. Yeah. That's quite nice.
Oh God, you guys are great at it. Oh. Like, I did not see, like, you know I love you. Don't you? I'm pointing at Harv.
Yeah.
You know I love you on the stories. And Lise, that's the first time we've seen you on the stories for such a long time, and I loved it.
Oh, normally I just stick my head in and go, hi.
No, that's great. So, more stories, please.
I actually got complimented on the stories. Like, you've got more confident, this person said.
There you go.
Who I didn't even know. No.
That doesn't count.
No. You should be proud of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Actually, I didn't even know this guy had Instagram, so that surprised me
there
in
you
itself.
Go.
But,
there
yeah.
you go.
Okay.
Right, my rant's done.
I'll try hard to do more.
What's your rant, Miss Cooper?
My rant is about shared toilets.
Oh my God, you did give me the heads up that this is coming.
That was shared as well.
Shared toilets.
Lisa's voice made that sound a bit like shed toilets.
It sounds shed, so shared. As in, so for an example, the gym where we go, there's one toilet for everyone.
What, men and women?
Men and women, there's only one toilet.
But that shouldn't matter.
That shouldn't
because
matter.
Men and women should be equally
We're all doing the same things in there. I get that. But people who go to the toilet But don't clear up after themselves. Oh, and there's a brush there. I get sometimes you go in some places and there's no toilet brush to clean the bowl afterwards, which makes it a bit more difficult. Well, but how do people...
More difficult? Well, if there was
well,
no brush...
Well, because you've got, like, you can still use toilet roll, can't you? As your wife said on Friday night, it's your own crap that you're wiping up, so just wipe it up. I don't get how people can know that they've done that, know that they've gone for a poo, and A, not check the bowl to see what it looks like because they know someone else is going to come in after them. And B, look at it and go, ah, oh, that's all right.
Not check that. Well, you've got to check your work.
Exactly. That's what I mean. So if you see it's dirty.
Please, if you see that one, please don't flush. Possible world record gone for a tape measure.
But yeah, if you see it's dirty, why wouldn't you clean it?
That whole thing makes me feel horrible.
Yeah, just, and especially like... when someone is clearly not very well.
Yeah, you know, like you look at it and you're like, how have you done that?
Were you even in the room when you did that?
Because it's like just literally... how do you walk away? Especially somewhere in the gym, like generally there's someone waiting sometimes to go in after you. So, and then you'd be like, oh, sorry, that wasn't me.
Too much protein shake.
That's the trouble with the gym. But yeah, that kind of thing winds me up a bit.
Yeah,
I just clean the toilet.
Yeah, I get that. That's horrid.
That is a very valid rant. Yeah. And you should just...
My second rant is going to be... I've got two, just because...
Oh, double rant.
So first one, be courteous to others using the washroom facilities.
Second one is going to be people who drive in a dual carriageway but don't know when to get back into the slow lane.
Get back in your lane.
Because I've just driven back from Oxford and the A34 is full of people driving... 70 below 70 miles an hour on the outside overtaking lane, sitting there, and they just don't get back over. Get back over.
What do you do? Did you just undertake them?
No, I give them a flash.
Oh dear. Do they get over though?
Yeah.
I'm a flasher. Yeah. Jesus, Lisa.
One boat flashed me. So coming to the roundabout at Stonehenge, the bigger one now, you can go in the left lane and the middle lane to go straight over that. Can't you? I did that. I went in the middle lane. The bloke behind me like aggressively flashed me because I pulled in front of him when goes back to single carriage. I did do this, but I don't think he saw me.
You probably shouldn't be flipping people off, Lise.
But why is he flashing me? I don't know. It doesn't matter, does it?
Lise is the queen of road rage.
He can flash. It's not going to change anything.
I've been in the car.
I don't mind being flashed if I've done something wrong.
I'm going to start talking to calm Lise down. Lise, just take a second. I've been in the car with Lise when we were at a red light and then the light turned green. And then the cars are still coming through. So Lise just aggressively drives at them. I've also been coming the other way, driving around a parked car.
Lisa's
and there was nothing
now.
Coming. I've pulled around the parked car and Lise has come the other way with her arms flailing out in the air. And I was like, oh, hey, Lise.
I didn't realise it was you, did I?
Very aggressive is our Lise.
I am quite an aggressive driver.
Yeah, so.
But yeah,
you need to be kinder to other road users.
I do. But yes, that's my rant for the week.
There you go. Parv, what's yours?
Mine is when people say to you, can I have your opinion?
Oh, I know what you're
going to tear this apart or, you know, this is a safe space. I'm just going to put this out. But I'm going to put this out to the group because I want to know, I genuinely want to know what people think about this. And then when you actually tell them what you think, they either get really defensive or shut you down. Or they should have just don't fucking ask my opinion, really.
I'm going to do it anyway.
I'm going to do it anyway. Barry from EastEnders.
Or they don't listen to what you say.
Yeah, but they just don't. You don't say it because you think the right thing to do is to tell everybody they're entitled to their opinion if you don't actually want their opinion.
Yeah.
Nobody wins.
If you're going to do it anyway, just do it.
Yeah.
Just tell me that you're going to do it. Don't ask my opinion.
Yeah.
If you're going to ask my opinion, I give you my honest opinion. And then you say, well, I didn't want to hear that. And I'm going to do it anyway. Well, fine. Save yourself the bother and save me the heartache.
I'll give you a quote about this topic and the way this conversation went. I said to the person, I don't have the same emotional investment in this as you do, so my opinion is going to be different.
Yeah.
And they said, I'm not emotionally invested. I've just been wrestling with this for 20 years.
Wow. Were you like, why don't you write that down and read it back to yourself?
Slowly.
Wow.
So, yeah, don't do it. Save everybody the hassle.
Yeah.
If you're going to do it anyway, do it anyway.
Yeah. I texted you last night, didn't I, saying, do you mind if I do this? And then there was like 3 minutes went by and he hadn't answered, so I just did it anyway. And then I texted him saying, did it anyway. And he goes, how dare you? Well, I assume that was a joke, though.
Yes, it was a joke.
Yeah. Right, I've got a question for you guys. Do you remember we used to do the question?
Have you got a question?
Email your question.
So, question.
Or nominate. So, here we go. Who wants to answer it first?
Lise.
Harv. So, Harv, if you could remain one age for the rest of your life, how old would you be and why?
Ooh.
Oh, man, I'm not going to
answer. You've got to answer it quick because I want Lisa's answer as well. So, you've got but one age for the rest of your life. How
28.
Old are you? 28. Why?
Well, because I was in a really, really bad way for most of my 20s.
Oh. Okay, I thought you were going to say for 28. I was thinking, really? You want to live like that for life?
And I, around about 28, I'd really found a way forward. And I had my kids. We'd had the kids by then. And I had purpose that I didn't have before.
Ah, 28.
28. I'd love to have said 22, 23, but I was not in a good place at that age.
God, you've made me just... I thought I had my answer, and now I've just rethunk my answer.
Thunked it.
Mm. Go on, Lise.
I'm torn between either saying maybe like 8 or 9.
Really?
Because that's like a nice age, isn't it? Like
well, you because don't, you don't realise how
you
shit
don't
life
know,
should
know
be.
What? Yeah.
I just did not even think about a kid's age.
Yeah.
Like
because
being
I
a child's
like,
age
in
at
our
all.
Childhood, I used to love being little. Do
and
you
messing
know
about.
Mean? Yeah.
And having no worries.
Someone looked after you. They cooked your food every night.
Yeah.
Your
bed was warm. Yeah.
You'd go out and play till it was tea time. You just had the time of your life. You didn't have any responsibilities. So, yeah, I think I'm going
to
say that sort of age.
Oh, shit. I don't know.
It was
what
either going to be that or my 30, like when I was 30. That like a good year.
9 or 30, Felice.
9 or 30.
Yeah, 30.
I'm going to go younger, though. That was.
So, 30 was a real bad time for me. 28 was pretty good because I was probably struggling with my mental health because I was racing Ironman back then. So, I think your mental health's in pretty much a bad way if you're racing Ironman. You know, you're trying to prove something to yourself and the world. I was going to say 17 because 17 was a really cool age.
Yeah.
Because I had my driving license and I had freedom, but I wasn't quite an adult. So 17, I remember always being a really good age. Which
yeah,
about
no, I
10,
get that.
17.
Sort of 16, 17, and, all you got to worry about is girls.
Yeah, and you didn't really have a job. You had a shitty job that you didn't care about. And you had
cash that you could do what you want with.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, and you didn't have to be responsible because you weren't an adult, but you had a car.
Mum, so did you wash in?
Yeah, 17 is a good age.
Yeah, no, that's a good answer.
PD, go on quickly.
17. It was either that or kind of mid-30s.
Mid-30s.
I kind of got my shit together.
Yeah. I think 40s have been quite good to me.
17,
yeah. 17, bang on.
No, 6.
Yeah.
Car.
Yeah.
Not even my car. Didn't even have to worry about.
Driving what the car? Old man's Cavalier.
What car?
A Morris Marina.
Morris Marina.
1750 with a brown vinyl roof.
Excellent.
And full body kit.
Wow. And what was your first car, Mr. Collins?
Well, my first car was Mark.
Wasn't mine. That was my dad's.
My first car was a Vauxhall Astra Mark II, ooh. 1986, 1.3, Antibes. So it was white. It was white with a blue interior.
Was that a curvy shape?
Yeah, it was lush. Oh, had a little foam spoiler on the back. Had GT wheels on it.
Did you have 12-inch speakers on the rear shelf?
Yeah, 6x9s. I had 6x9s, yeah. I think they were Kenwood 6x9s. I know what Lisa's first car was. Fiesta, because she's only ever had Fiestas.
Yeah, well, actually, not quite. So the first car I learned to drive in was a Metro.
Was that yours, though?
Yeah, someone gave it to me. But
oh, really?
That was when I was 17, and then I didn't drive. I had an incident. I remember my dad coming back and being like, my God, we were lucky to get out of that by Manston.
All right.
Plough.
Yeah.
Around the bend, and there were some cars. It seemed worse than what it was, I think.
What, but you didn't drive
that
for a
bit? That put me off driving until I was like 26.
I have
really?
I've got a little cute, such funny story about Lise and Fiestas.
Then it was my red Fiesta.
Because when Lise drove me home after we'd been on one of our mountain trips and she dropped me back at mine, she realised our next door neighbour had her old red Fiesta.
The one I sold before, this blue one.
And
yeah, I put up on the drive.
She got so excited.
Yeah, it was like WJ57 HPD.
I thought I was going to have to go and knock on the door and let her reintroduce them to the car.
What was the reg number?
HG57. No, I can't remember what I just said.
Don't look at me, I don't remember.
Yeah, but anyway, it was H-Reg, was it?
It was
91.
Yeah. 57.
What was your first car, Mr. Huff?
It was a red Vauxhall Corsa that I bought off my granddad.
Apparently nonces drive Corsas. That's just what my lad says. But anyway.
Wow.
Right, moving on. There are other cars available for the nonce. Anyway,
it was a lovely car until a wall pulled out on me, and that was the end of that. But yeah.
Right, what's the message today then?
Today's message, I think, has to be, if you wouldn't say it to a friend, don't say it to yourself.
There you go. Be kind. Harv, self-care. Put your oxygen mask on first.
Okay. and you be proud of something. You've a lot to be proud of.
Yeah, I have. But me personally, write to us, tell us what age you want to be and forever.
What are you proud of, Adam,
and
why?
And what are you proud of? The Brave and Determined Company at gmail.com. We look forward to receiving thousands of emails.
Thousands. Yeah. Lee, sing us out with that voice you haven't got.
One song. We're going to do it. Oh, no.
No, I was going to say, what have you done today to make you feel proud?
That was
Heather Small.
That's it. Yeah, yeah.
Or Anna Miranda. She used to do it, didn't she? So the woman who's now Strictly. Sarah Hadland.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
She was in Miranda. She used to go around with a Heather Small mask and she'd like sing in that voice. She'd be, what have you done today to make you feel proud?
Awful TV show. But
anyway, right, sing us out. Let's go.
Just done it. Sing us out again.
Okay, that's the end. Goodbye. We'll see you next time.